boot this morning. I'm sure you regret that. Good morning to you all. Before I begin, I want to say thanks to a number of helpers who are helping with the transitions of responsibility. Carl basically has two Sundays left, and he is going to be retiring, and we're transitioning a bunch of responsibilities. And you know, thanks to Tara this morning, we had songs on the screen, and Chase, they're helping out with that, and Shannon helped with getting a worship order and the prayer list out, and Shelley has helped with getting supplies and stuff. There's a number of people that are pitching in transition ways, and I so much we appreciate that, and there's going to be some little bit things that will be a little bit bumpy, but and we still need probably volunteers to cover more things, so we appreciate those who are helping in that way. I'm trying to get my iPad open here. I had in mind what I wanted to share with you this morning for quite a few weeks, because in a couple weeks I'm going to be giving a lesson at Silver Maple Camp to kids, and during first session camp they're going to be studying creation, and so Steve Sears says, "Well, Tom, I know you have bees. I want you to come and give a talk about bees." So, you know, I was kind of excited. I am excited about doing it. I'm going to be doing that. And I'm going to approach it from the biblical examples of bees and share. But I'm not going to do that this morning, even though I want to. I am going to make one little reference to something that's going to be a part of our but we're involved in transition here. And so I think my lesson's going to initially start with a leadership transition this morning. And before I begin that, I looked at my notes to get in order here, and I see that I wanted to just review a little bit with the upcoming celebration, which is July the 14th on a Sunday morning. If you haven't gotten a letter and an invitation, you will be getting it very soon. Note that, and that will take, we will have, Carl will be delivering the lesson like normal on Sunday morning. We will have a meal here together. It will be catered, I believe. And then we're going to have some special recognition and time spent following that meal. And then there will be a reception, a come-and-go reception at the Annex building, the county Annex building, following that. And so, you know, that's a very, not very detailed, but that's coming up, and it's not very far off. Now, in the invitation, you're also going we plan to give Carl and Janet a gift, and this is a surprise, so don't blow it. There's the funds that you choose to give, you're to get them to Richard discreetly, either mail them to him or give them very discreetly here, and then that's explained in the invitation, but just reminding you of that. And so that's going to be taking place. I will share with you, I mean, it'll be public knowledge when we review the budget. The church is committed. We did make a commitment to paying for Janet's health insurance until she does get on Medicare. So we have made a financial commitment there to help that. We wanted to do that, and so that's going to be taking place for our Carl and Janet as well. But we want to give them a special gift as they transition on. So let me just share with you a little bit about the minister transition from the perspective of the eldership, just briefly. The first priority in prayer for more than a year for the elders has been this transition. We've individually spent a great deal of time making this priority in our lives and as a group when we're collectively together. We've been looking and making contacts for well over a year, searching for for individuals to come. And frankly, it's a little bit discouraging when you find the number of openings and the number of men available. But, we were very fortunate to find a candidate. But we think having a minister is so important to all our spiritual growth and transformation. We need challenged, we need encouraged to be Christ-like. And it's best if we have someone whose focus is just on that. And I say that because there's a lot of churches our size that don't have ministers. But we, as an eldership, feel like it's very critical that we find someone who can do that. And we are planning and we do have someone committed. The new minister, John, will have different strengths, but we want him to be him and not to be Carl. We need to make sure that we don't make comparisons as we go forward. And as Carl transitions, we want Carl to continue to use his strengths to help people on their journeys as well. Some may think that this happened very fast, but you should have heard Carl say several times that we've been working toward this for over 2 years. And so it didn't really occur that fast. You know, we prayed that God would send someone, and as an eldership, we feel like we listened to God. It was a very easy decision when it came down to ask John to come and work with us. But in the end, it's not the minister, it's how we respond to his words that are shared that counts. And, you know, I think that's important that we approach things that way. I want to share with you, well, before I begin from God's Word, which we're going to turn to a leadership transition, share with you that we had planned on John and Jan coming middle of August at the latest, and they're committed to doing that, except Jan has, they found some cancer on her, skin cancer on her nose. And, she's in a radiation treatment program that's not available in Kansas. And so, as a week ago, she had 24 treatments to go. It hasn't been affecting her, but she is going to complete those treatments before they come, which is going to end up making their move to Kansas probably at least a month later or maybe a month and a half later. So it may be September or October, 1st of October. Hopefully, as soon as they just can't say is how she's going to feel and how is this all going to finish. So there is a little bit of delay there. And I just found out about this last Saturday, and I decided I would just make that make you aware of that this morning. And so, you know, that's what's in our plans and our works and how it will be transitioning. The exact dates we will find out for sure. We need to pray for Jan's treatments and her. And another thing, and I dropped the ball, it occurred to me as I was sitting here this morning and thinking about the bulletin. John writes a daily devotional, a blog, that he emails, and I've been getting it since last November. I'm going to get, with your permission, we'll send your email addresses, and you'll get the daily devotionals. And so John writes exceptionally good daily thoughts to help focus you. And so that will, and if you don't want it, you can decline it, and that will, but that will begin to take place. And I've just got to get the email addresses there. And so, Jorge, remind me that I need to do something, okay? But I want to share with you, and I thought about this a lot this morning, about a transition that took place in God in the history of mankind. To me, one of the greatest leaders that I can't imagine, a leader greater than Moses. But he had to transition out, and Joshua took place. And so that account takes place in Deuteronomy, the third, 31st chapter. So I know we're not in the habit of looking at our Bibles. We're used to looking at the screen, but Tom didn't get that prepared this morning. And so we're going to read, and if you've got your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. We're going to look at chapter 31 and 32, and one time I thought, well, I hate to bore him, I'm going to read most of it, but I'll not read it all, but I'm going to read parts of it. But I want you to, you know, to note some things here, and I want you at your own time this week to look at this story found in Deuteronomy, the 31st to 32nd chapter. This is the account of the leadership change that took place. So then, I'm beginning reading here. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. Now, and I was also thinking, I should have backtracked. And you can interact with me here this morning. You know, you can help me out a little bit. How long, think about how long was, and I could have done this if I had spent time, how long was Moses the leader of Israel? We know that they wandered for how many years? 40. He was the leader then, right? He led them out. I don't know what period of time it took from the time Pharaoh finally let them go till they got that far. And then they didn't have the faith to enter, and so God, only two men believed they could get there and take the land. That was who? Joshua and Caleb. Okay. God selected men of faith to begin. That's a key part of you know, the new leadership. Well, the thought is that Moses was a leader for a long time, longer than Carl was here in St. John and Stafford even. Moses was their leader for a long time. He says, I'm 120 years old. I can't do it anymore. We're going to transition. And the Lord said, and then continuing on reading, so the Lord said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said, and the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. And the Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that's pretty important words. There's the leader that's led them for all these years. This is his final sermon. This is his final lesson to the people. He said, you know, God's never going to leave you or forsake you. And so Moses summoned Joshua and he said to him in all the presence of Israel, be strong and courageous. You must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestor to give them. You must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the Levitical priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders. Then Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, in the year for canceling debts, during the Festival of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your town, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in this land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Moses, this is the final sermon. The most important things he feels he needs to pass. It's about knowing God, fearing God, being obedient to God. This is what he wanted to pass on. And so the final meeting with Moses and God, beginning in verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, "Now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of the meeting where I will commission him." So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of the meeting. The Lord appeared to them at the tent in a pillar of a cloud, and the cloud stood over the entrance to the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are going to rest with your ancestors, and these people will soon prostrate themselves to the foreign gods of the land they are in, and they will forsake me and break the covenant I have made with them. And in that day I will become angry with them and forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and calamities will come upon them, and in that day they will ask, 'Have not these disasters come on us because our God is not with us?' And I will certainly hide my face in that day because of all their wickedness in turning to other gods. Now write down this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it so that they may be a witness for me against them. And when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on an oath to their ancestors, and when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. And when many disasters and calamities come on them, this song will testify against them, because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know that what they are disposed to do, even before I bring them into the land I promised them on an oath." So Moses wrote down this song that day and taught it to the Israelites. So, chapter 31, and I'm not, chapter 31 is the psalm. I'm not going to read any more of chapter 32 is the psalm. I'm not going to read any more of 31. I'd like for you to read it. God knew, he's telling Moses at this meeting with him and Joshua, he knows what's going to happen. He knows that the people are going to turn away from and forget him. And that's what prosperity tends to do. That's what, when things are very good, things, people tend to forget God. He says it's going to happen. I want to read a little bit of chapter 32 of this song. I thought about, man, this is a long song, and to teach this and to remember this and teach this, they were supposed to do it how many years, every year? How many years were they supposed to do this? Every 7 years. They're supposed to do this. God's saying, I know that you're going to forget. You need to keep doing this. Let's read just a little bit of the song here in chapter 32. "Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like flowers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just he is. They are corrupt." Now, then there's a transition here in this song. "They are corrupt, not his children, to their shame. They are warped in a crooked generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father, your creator, who made you from the old? Remember the old days. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, he divided all mankind. He set up boundaries for the peoples, according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion in his people, Jacob, his allotments inherited." I'm going to skip down to verse 15. It says, it's the land of Israel, the name there, I can't pronounce it today. It's referring to the Jewish people, to Israel. It says, "It grew fat and kicked. They filled with food and they became heavy and sleek. They abandoned God and who made them and rejected the rock, their Savior. They made him jealous with their foreign gods and angered him with their detestable idols. They sacrificed to false gods, which are not God. Gods they had not known, gods that had recently appeared, gods your ancestors did not fear. You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot God who gave you birth. Skipping clear down to verse 44 in chapter 32, and I'll kind of want to tie just in this portion of the lesson. Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. And when Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." The words there at the end of this chapter, they're not just idle words. They're not just idle words for you. They are your life. God's word is your life. You know, even with the great leader that Moses was, and I'm convinced Moses poured his life into, I mean, I can't imagine how I would have gotten fed up with the people a long time before Moses did. I would have gave up on them. Moses didn't give up. But he shared what he felt was what he knew was the most important for his people. It's about God's, you know, God's word and his plan. And so, you know, I share that, just that scene here of a transition of leadership. Moses knew it was time. It had to happen. In a sense, it's time. Carl is moving on. There's a change in his life, and there is this transition. But again, it's not necessarily about the man. It's about God's words that are important. And we need to make sure that it's our responsibility to take those words and integrate them in our life. Moses, there was a phrase there in he says, you know, this land of milk and honey. He referred to the land of milk and honey, didn't he? Now in Exodus 3:8, and let's just turn to Exodus 3:8. This is the last part of my. I was going to quit really, really early today, but I'm not going to make it. But I'm almost done. In Exodus 3, this is the original promise a long time ago. It would help if I get to chapter 3 and not chapter 8. It's not looking right. It's playing leapfrog with me. You know, this is a scene in Exodus 3 where Moses sees the burning bush. We know that story. Beginning in verse 7, he says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites." And so this is the promise that we just were at the very end of where they had finally got there. But this is the promise. But he says, I'm going to send you to a land of milk and honey. And this is part of my lesson to this is one of the biblical examples of and honey is one of the main commodities when you talk about, you know, the wheat, the barley, the olive oil, and honey. They are some of the very primary elements for these peoples. Now, when he says you're going to possess a land that flows with milk and honey, I'm not sure if everybody grasps what that means. But in order for a cow, Joe, to produce milk, she has to have pretty good nutrition, doesn't she? She needs good, lush, great pastures. You know, if it's a very marginal pasture, she's not going to produce very much milk. Now, for bees to produce honey, Jorge, they have to have a lot of bloom, a lot of plants that are producing pollen and nectar. So now get the picture of what the land that they're going to go to. This is a land, it's not a desert, because you're not going to have flowing milk and flowing honey in a desert. They might produce a little bit, but we're talking about a flow. God says, I'm going to send you to a land where the bees are going to produce honey like you've never seen, that you're going to have plenty of it, that your cows are going to have lots of grass and milk, and your sheep and your goats are going to produce a lot of milk, and they're going to flourish. And there's going to be space. You're not going to be crowded. I make that point because this is what our Father promised to His people. This is what He promised to those people that Moses was leading, that Joshua was to lead. Did He follow through? Absolutely, He did. He made this promise in Exodus 3, and we leapfrogged years and years and years to in Deuteronomy 32 or 31. There was a lot of years. Did He follow through? Absolutely, He did. He gave them that land. They forgot Him. And even Moses didn't get, one of the things as I thought about this, even Moses didn't get to enter the land, did he? It's kind of, to me, that's a little bit sobering, I guess. Because Moses made a mistake one day of not really doing it God's way and trusting God. And God, as a result, He didn't get to lead them all the way in. Right before, and you'll read it in verse chapter 31. Right, God took him and He let him, took him on the mountain and He let him see the land that they were going to possess. But He didn't get to lead them because of that sin, of that shortfall on this trip. It's a little bit sobering to me, to thinking about, you know, Tom, do you always depend? Are you always, you know, dependent and thankful and compliant and obedient? Well, again, God delivered on His promise. He gave them a land that flowed with milk and honey. And He's the same Father today that blesses and provides for us. He's planned for us to be with Him forever. You know, we live in a land flowing with milk and honey in all reality. I think the Israelites would be, the nation would be shocked if they seen central Kansas. That this would be an unbelievable productivity. Because they wanted to grow wheat. They wanted to grow barley. They wanted to have olive trees. They wanted to have honey. And we have that. And it takes years for some of these things to take place. You know, Jorge and I are benefiting, I'm convinced, I told him this week, that we're benefiting a whole bunch from what took place in the 30s right now. It took a long time to build these big cottonwood trees where all the bees lived. They were planted in the 30s. Now we have them and the wild bees live there. God set this land up for them to move into. It was ready for them. The same Father that took care of the Israelites takes care of us. And I just, as we go through this transition, know that God's going to continue to be with us. That was the message that that Moses spoke to his people. In my conversation with Carl, he's prayed that someone would be raised up to continue to help you guys on your journey. And that's our concern, as an eldership. And so, let's continue to walk and follow our Father as best we can. Listen to His words. Listen each week as whoever's presenting, to try to come to understand and know God better. I appreciate your attention. You have had good attention this morning, despite all my reading. Very, very well. We will stand and sing our invitation song, and then I have our dismissal. Would you stand now? Gary, would you start the song for us?